League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The Stanley Cup is en route. This is 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. It's going to be in the building for the first time to be presented, available to be presented. Are you excited about it on Tuesday?
I always get excited. Do you remember the last time we were together when the Stanley Cup was presented?
Yeah, the problem was the Stanley Cup wasn't in the building.
They changed the rules because of that 2015 debacle.
Tell people about what happened.
So the people at the Hockey Hall of Fame, Phil Pritchard and his guys, Craig Campbell, they do a magnificent job with the cup. But they had a tradition that they would bring the cup to the rink halfway through the game, like halfway through the second period, when they felt, for instance, in that case, if Chicago was up and winning, they would bring the cup in. If Tampa was winning that night, they would not have brought the cup to the United Center. So Chicago's winning. It's pretty obvious Chicago is going to win. I'm sorry, John Cooper. And now, if you recall, there are giant rainstorms in Chicago, and the streets are flooded. And the guys with the cup, maybe they were still driving their Hyundai. I don't know. They could not get to the arena. So they were stuck in traffic, could not get to the arena. The Blackhawks win the game. The celebration begins, and the cup is nowhere to be seen in the building. And we wait, and we wait, and we wait. I think it was 40 minutes. 40 minutes. And the people, God bless the people, stayed at United Center to watch the cup being presented on home ice for the Blackhawks. And at that moment, our friend and your friend, Mr. Bettman, said, from now on, the cup is in the building before the game. I don't care. And ever since then, the cup has been in the building.
And that rainstorm was awful. Like, there was... It was leaking in the United Center during one section behind the net. Thankfully, it wasn't on the ice, or that would have delayed the game. But we were all standing around and wondering and just waiting. But we were in the building, so it wasn't as obvious. But we were getting texts from people going, why isn't the ceremony happening? And it did change history. One rainstorm in Chicago.
And just the tradition of not bringing the cup in too early and – because the NHL does, in fact, they don't own the Stanley Cup, but they control the Stanley Cup. They deem that it, from now on, the Hall doesn't have the say when the cup shows up. It shows up when the commissioner wants it to show up.
We're so hockey. sometimes. We get in our own way with the superstitions.
We overthink sometimes, absolutely. And do you think the Edmonton Oilers are overthinking?
They should be thinking. They should be acting. They should be doing all of it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yes, they might be overthinking, but they got to get it in order because it's time to find their game in a more consistent performance.
Right. So here we are. We're a day before the game. The game's Tuesday night. And you're Chris Knobloch. You're starting which goaltender?
I think he starts Stuart Skinner.
I wasn't asking what Chris Knobloch. I want you, Coach Darren Millard. Who are you starting?
I would go Calvin Pickard.
You would?
Yeah.
So I did an instant poll on social media right after the game. And a lot of people said, who cares? But I had about 4,000 votes and 80% voted for Stuart Skinner.
Yeah.
80%.
I think Knobloch goes with Skinner. I would go Calvin Pickard.
Yeah. Well, that's because he's from Manitoba and you're from Manitoba and you like the underdog and all that shit.
I do like the underdog. I think there's an amazing story there.
I think they got a better chance with Stuart Skinner. So.
I don't think it matters, to be quite honest. I say that with absolute face value, 100% truthfulness. I don't think it matters which goaltender they start. They need to score and they need to be more effective and they need to be better defensively.
Yeah. Hey, there's a light on. Our guest is here.
Oh, I didn't see that. I was so passionate about this goaltender talk. Pat Verbeek, the general manager of the Anaheim
Trader
Ducks.
Trader Pat. We're going to call him Trader Pat.
Beaker. Coming up.
I'm calling him Beaker.
God. 100%.
I hear Joel Quenneville do a promo on Sirius Radio. Yeah, Beaker and I were having. Joel, please.
Beaker.
Oh, man.
Remember the Muppets? Yeah. That's the ultimate Beaker. There's only one Beaker.
Okay.
It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Chen right after this.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Here's the general manager of the Anaheim Ducks joining us to kick off this week in 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. What's your week like a couple of weeks out from the draft?
Well, exploring some trades, see if we can get some of our restricted free agents signed, and we're looking at that. And then the draft stuff is a little bit, it's kind of settled right now, so we'll see going into next week. We'll see if things change once we get closer to the draft. Things seem to heat up a little bit more. I guess I'll just have to kind of wait and see.
Oh, so hold on now. So you mentioned trades, and then all your scouts, they start to roll their eyes because they've been working their tail off all winter. And you know this because you went through this. You worked all winter long. You got your list. You guys have had your meetings. Life is good. And now Verbeek's going to trade them all because he's going to get somebody.
No, I didn't say that. I just said I didn't say I was trading any picks just yet. But there's certain things. Sometimes it's just changing up of personnel, just bringing in different players for different players. I guess there's those opportunities, and so I'm kind of really looking to improve the team. Not sure I. We'll be able to get it accomplished before free agency, but I'm going to look to see if I can do that before free agency.
Feels like you've entered a different phase with Trouba last year and now with Adam Henrique. Chris Kreider. Just feels like you've entered, sped things up a little bit.
Well, I think that we took a big jump last year, and I think that just reviewing last season, there's certain aspects that I think what I call low-hanging fruit, in the sense that our power play wasn't very good and our penalty killer wasn't very good. I think that getting to even getting to average would be something that would be would be hugely beneficial in the sense of the wind column, and then bringing in Joel, you know, Quenneville, and we're getting close to having our assistant coaches be announced. That we feel we got a really good coaching staff, and now expecting our younger players who had pretty good seasons, Leo Carlson and Mason McTavish and Jackson McComb, Cutter Gauthier, you know, those guys, expecting them to kind of take another step again with our coaching staff along assisting them. And so bringing in Chris Kreider, who, you know, obviously had a down season that I still think that I still think there's lots of goals for him to be able to score. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's in phenomenal condition. And adding, you know, him to the mix is a different sense, and I think the group's ready to take another step, and they're excited. I think they're excited about the coach, Joel Quenneville coming in, his winning track record. He's a guy that demands instant respect and has the credibility to do it. So yeah, there's a lot of things that are kind of exciting for the Ducks right now.
So the Kreider trade. Would you consider it a quick trade? You and Chris had some quick talks, quick discussions, or was this something you were exploring last year?
No, it was something that didn't really reach last year. I think at the end of the season it got talked about, and then we started to, you know, we have our pro meetings. We talked about certain things. I think that, you know, what I just mentioned with our special teams, Chris Kreider is a very good special teams player, whether that's power play. He's excellent at penalty killing as well, which is, you know, just his speed that he can put down, pressure down ice in zone for the PK, and his net front presence is, it's hard to beat, point to a guy that's better at it in the league than him. So there's just a lot of positive in some of the things that we're looking to improve that Chris Kreider adds.
When you made the trade, I suggested that he would be a pretty good mentor for Leo Carlson. Is that a fair estimation?
I think there's a lot of things. Not only Leo Carlson, I think we had a meeting with Chris just prior to when his no wave. And I think, you know, one of my observations is he's going to be good for our young guys, whether it's our young centerman, whoever he plays with, either Leo or Mason McTavish, in the sense he's going to be able to provide that speed. He's going to be a guy that I call, which plows the road, for the skilled guys. And so certainly he's going to be able to do that, get into the net front presence. But I also think that these two young centermen are going to be able to help his game, because they will be able to get the puck there to him, and they will find him when he's open in the slot battling for a position in front of the net. So I think he's going to complement both of our young centermen.
Vote of confidence when a player agrees to join you when he's got trade protection?
Yeah, sure. I think there's a, you know, obviously Chris is very familiar with a few of our guys and probably got the skinny on the inside, you know, with Brian Strome and Frankie Vetrano and Jacob Truba. So certainly we've got a few extra Rangers former Rangers that were hanging around that he could talk to and give a perspective. Yeah, it's, you know, when teams waive their, it says a lot. I think that it says, you know, we're a team that's, you know, starting to take a step and the focus is on winning now. I think that, I'm calling it a transition, in the sense that we're transitioning out of the rebuild, and we're now starting to look to push forward to win and challenge for playoff spots for the next few years here.
How, any chance you asked Jacob Truba to put a good word in with his pal?
You know, I actually talked to Jacob Truba about him. Certainly. There's certain things that you like to know inside the lot, what's going on inside the locker room. And Jacob was able to provide a lot of good insight. And I think that, which is very valuable, for us and for what we're looking to get done in our locker room, in the locker room and on the ice as well.
Just curious, do you make this move a year ago, or is it a sign of where your program is different now?
I would say we probably wouldn't have made it a year ago. I mean, I'm looking to always improve. Certainly I'm not like, unless, you know, Cutter Gauthier was a different scenario than say Chris Kreider when I traded Jamie Drysdale and gave up a second for it. So it's certainly a little different scenario in adding to what I, you know, Cutter's going to be the, you know, what I consider the primary core youth part of it. And Chris is just going to be just a great, example of how we need to play to all our young guys when it comes to playoff hockey, getting to the front of the net, battling for space in front of the net. So I think that those sorts of things went into it, you know, for us when we made the trade.
I tell you what, you mentioned Gauthier, but Lacombe to me is the guy that, boy, oh boy, oh boy, second half of the year, did he open some eyes, Pat? I mean, he was fantastic for you, wasn't he?
He took a huge step. He actually came in the training camp. When you saw him at the end, that's what he started out in training camp. He was off the charts good. And then he got sick and missed probably at least 2 weeks of being at home and not playing and practicing. And it took him a while to get ramped back up. And when he found his confidence, it was like he took a huge step. It's he's showing us stuff that he showed us in college in his senior year. And so it took him a little bit. Last year was their season before was really a growing year for him, understanding, what it takes, to be a defenseman in the league night in and night out. He's never played 82 games before, which was obviously, that's a big step. Cutter Gauthier went through the same thing. It's those 82 games versus, you play 40 max in college. It's a big difference, not only physically, but mentally. So there was some adjustment there. And I think he really trained hard and well last season. And I think it just, he reaped the rewards because of it. And he's got a chance to be a really outstanding player for us. And we're super excited. And he's just a great kid.
You mentioned the trade possibilities right off the top. Is it active out there? Is there a lot of chatter around the league?
Well, I think everybody, we all go through, everybody checks in with everybody. Every team is looking to do certain things. And so you try to see if there's matches and fits that that could possibly work out, and it's all the normal stuff that kind of happens at this time of year. Some of it, you do a lot of talking and nothing ever happens, and then there's times when things that don't seem to are going to work all of a sudden come together quickly. So it's hard to predict, honestly. But you go through the exercise to try and improve your team.
It is a little different, though, when 2 weeks from now, you're not going to be in the same arena with the other 31 guys. The remote draft has probably changed a bit for you, hasn't it?
Well, I think we always make our phone calls. Sometimes it's when you're there. Most general managers are probably there 5 days before the draft, so you can have a lot of conversations. You're meeting with your amateur groups. You have your inner circle as far as, when it comes to making NHL trades, you have those personnel, your scouts there with you as well. There's a lot of things that transpire, meetings and that sort of discussions, whether it's with your amateur group or your pro group that happen over the course of that week that you can kind of meet up with general managers and have face to face with them. But now it'll be different. I think there might be a lot more work goes in before the draft this year than what might have happened before.
Do you have a preference? Not really knowing what it's going to be like in Los Angeles, but an idea.
Well, except they did do it during COVID, right?
Yeah, they did do it. I actually enjoy last year at the Sphere, it's hard to envision a draft any better than that from my perspective. And when I went and sat upstairs, in one of the boxes in rounds, meeting the kids in rounds 6 and 7, the view and the whole scenario was incredible. And I couldn't imagine being a kid that got drafted. I mean, that to me is the cool part. We get to meet the kids. The kids are super excited. We get to meet the families. We get to meet. It's just a different feeling, not having it in person. There's no different. I mean, we're fortunate in Anaheim that, you know, we'll be able to, you know, be able to invite a couple of our kids down to, you know, down to our war room, so to speak, and meet with them and their families and host them. And so other teams won't have that ability, you know, mm-hmm. except us in LA. So it's going to be different. I kind of prefer the old way.
I was going to say, even in your draft, you remember where you were, you remember the arena, you remember all the surroundings. That's part of the magic of maturing to be a professional player, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting for the player. I mean, back when I was drafted, it was every year it was held in Montreal. And then they, you know, at some point, I can't remember what year they decided to move it away from Montreal, but it was always Montreal. And so, it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing for the players. I think that, you know, you spend, you work your tail off and it's an exciting time to get drafted and to, you know, meet the organization that drafts you. So I just think it's so much better. And I think from, you know, my perspective as a general manager, you can meet with agents. So there's just that in-person, touch has gone away, you know, for at least for this season.
Take a break. We'll continue with the general manager of the Anaheim Ducks, Pat Verbeek, right after this on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You do have a couple of things on your plate, Lucas Dostal. Where are you there on the restricted free agent?
Well, we've exchanged offers, so now we're just sitting there. We will Dosti's agent has gone on vacation, so we're going to kind of wait a little bit till he gets back, and then we will have we will pick up discussions and go from there. So it. I have not spoke to, you know, Pat Morris with, McTavish's, you know, who's McTavish's agent yet. We've had just, I would say introductory calls in the sense that we're going to, you know, we're talking about talking. And so anyway, so that's kind of where we're at there. So we'll see where it goes.
That's another aspect of the remote draft. The agents aren't around, you know, so you don't have that ability to talk to them near as much, do you?
No, they. I think there was more a concerted effort to meet with them at the combine, and so we, you know, a lot, you know, we talked a lot right at the combine, a little, you know, with most of the agencies there. So, it's not the ideal scenario to do that, to get that done, but you know, I guess we try and make it work and work.
But Dostal's not really an issue because you still have him for another year, correct?
We have, yeah, exactly. Like he has arbitration, right? So it you know, we're both exploring, you know, a long-term deal and a multi-year contract. So we'll see where it goes.
And you have how much? 30 million in cap space? Is that the right number? Maybe more?
I think it's like 32 after acquiring Kreider.
$32 million. What are you going to do with $32 million?
Oh, you know, it's amazing. You know, I'm not quite sure what Dostal is, what's going to happen. Not sure what McTavish is going to happen. Next year, Leo Carlson's up, Mentukov, Jackson Lacombe. So there's a lot of guys that can take up a lot of money quickly if you don't do it right.
That's the challenging part, right? You gotta meet the floor and get to that stage and maybe beyond, but you can't overspend and put yourself in a bind in 2 years.
No, exactly. So we're walking through that process. We're planning carefully to make sure that you know we don't make any missteps. Certainly. So it's a lot of it. you know, there'll be some adjustments along the way and preparations for others. So it's certainly it's a tricky deal. And sometimes it'd be nice if all the agents cooperated with exactly how you wanted it to get done, but that's not always the case. So anyway, you have to grind it out.
How many years out are you really working? Like where you're focused on what our number is?
Well, I think every year you kind of go through your scenario. You try and make projections on the player's ability. That's the first thing. You make projections on what you think their production is going to be. So I don't know. We try. I don't know. It's probably 2 to 3 years for sure. Mm. You know, we try and look out ahead and to make sure that we don't run into any stumbling blocks.
Yeah, the other side of it is not just the agents, but the other teams look at you and say, well, he's got lots of money. Maybe we can give him one of our overpaid players. You get lots of calls like that?
Not so much anymore, but yeah, certainly before, there's opportunities for us to make where we could take players and accumulate assets for it. That works. San Jose has done a real good job of doing that too. There's other teams that do the same thing. So when you have cap space, it's very valuable. And I think there's teams that certainly look at those scenarios and every team looks at different ways of how to accumulate gain cap space and accumulate assets at the same time.
How difficult was it to make the decision on Greg Cronin?
It was really, really tough. I think trying to explain to Greg that team just had a 21 point gain. I think what it ultimately ended up boiling down to is I think the team needed a different voice at where we are in our stage. And obviously I can look back now and getting Joel Quenneville, it was a really difficult decision, but we were able to get, the second winningest coast of all time. So I think that, it created excitement within our players and I think that the instant credibility with Joel being there now is certainly going to go a long way with our group, and the buy-in that he's looking for them to have instantly.
Tactically, is there an area that you and Joel are on the same page that you guys really meshed?
Yes, Joel likes to play fast. I think the thing that tried to look at when you build a team is speed. I think speed is ultimately a difficult thing to defend. And Joel, with his system, likes to play fast, is going to be able to, our players are going to be able to support one another, but play with speed. And so I think that, we think very similarly about how we want to play and the types of players that we have on our team.
You and the organization managed the announcement of Joel very well and the due diligence that you did. Were you satisfied with the public reaction of hiring Joel and the sensitivities, Pat?
Yeah, I think that was probably the most difficult process, I think, going through all of it. I think when you look at Joel's record as a coach, it certainly was a no-brainer. But I think that once we did our due diligence and we felt comfortable with what the information that we had, we could proceed forward. And I think that the reaction from the players was hugely beneficial as well. And it's just something that we were able to push forward. And I think, when Henry and Susan gave their stamp of approval, it mash the pedal down and let's get going.
And the credibility part, nothing against Greg, but it's significant when you've got a coach that's going to be firm with players that has that track record. Easier buy-in, I would think.
Well, certainly the winning track record and, you know, the three Stanley Cups and all the wins he has, it's hard to argue. It's no different than when, you know, I was coached by Scotty Bowman. It's no different. You know, the instant respect, the understanding what's expected of you every day. I think, you know, the one thing I will say about Greg laid a really good foundation for this team. You know, when it comes to accountability, the work ethic, the work ethic every single day. And I think that, and now with bringing Joel in, is certainly the credibility and the instant respect that he has as a winner. Certainly, we're planning on this group taking that step that's needed to win.
And let's face it, you have to hire another Hartford Whaler. I mean, that's the bottom line. All you Hartford Whalers stick together.
Well, it's kind of unique when you sit there and it's funny. Joel and I and Mike Liut and Dave Tippett and Ron Francis, like we all played together, but we all sat in the back of a bus when we traveled to, you know, games, whether it's to Boston, whether it's to New York and Philadelphia. So, you know, we always talked hockey, you know, mostly after games with a libation in our hand and waiting to get home. But I think, it spurred us to, you know, the love of the game is there, but it just spurred us to go on to do other things, you know, coaching.
When you remember Scotty Bowman, what are your recollections from your early days playing for him?
Well,
were you nervous, knowing that he was taking over or?
No. So my first game, so I'll give you my first game with the Dallas Stars, with the Detroit Red Wings, playing against my old team, the Dallas Stars, who had won a Stanley Cup with the year before. First game, I didn't get to join the Red Wings till I think it was early November. So I've been practicing on my own, practicing with the Fort Worth Brahmas of the, might have been the Southern Professional
The Western Professional Hockey League. Brad Treliving was the commissioner.
It might have been with, I think that's the league they were in. And so I'd be practicing every day. And then finally, Kenny Holland gives my agent a call, and Maltby and Darren McCarty went down. So they were going to be out for a significant amount of time. And anyway, so I got my opportunity to play. And the first game was against the Dallas Stars, and I'm on the bench, and I'm just trying to survive. I hadn't had any training camp. These guys have been playing for a while, and playing for Ken Hitchcock the year before, you know, or three prior years, we always dumped the puck. We always chipped and chased. And when I got to the Red Wings, it was a different story. I played with on a line with Igor Larionov and Slava Kozlov, and those two guys definitely didn't want to dump the puck. And I got to the bench after the first time I dumped the puck, and trying not to make any mistakes. And Slava, he gives me crap, you know, for dumping the puck. We don't dump puck here. I said, okay, got it. And then soon right after there, Scotty came over and he goes, why you dump the puck? You work so hard to get it and you just give it back to him. I said, okay, I won't dump it in anymore. Anyway, so that was my first, you know, interaction with Scotty. So it was good. Scotty was an incredible bench boss, knew who was going, knew how to really how to pull other coaches out of their game plans. And I think that he was outstanding at it. And so, you know, having that, you know, it certainly was incredible education from my perspective.
You know, it just occurred to me, if you played today, you'd be a perfect forward for the Florida Panthers. I mean, can you imagine Verbeek with Marchand and Bennett? I mean, that's your type of hockey, Pat.
Yeah. You know, I would say this year about the playoffs is, this year it's probably for the first time that I miss playing. You know, when you see the intensity, you see the hitting. I haven't seen physical game like this for a long, long time, these playoffs. And I think it's been great for the game. Really, really hard to play. And you gotta, bite and scratch for every ounce, inch that you want to get out there to score. So it's those would be fun games to play in.
Yeah, could you imagine Lundell with Marchand and Verbeek on the same line? Oh my God, it'd be crazy.
Well, it'd be fun. It'd be fun.
It'd be fun. Your excitement about the playoffs is also accelerated because you're closer. Like your expectations for next year would be being in that.
Yeah,
mix?
I would say so. Yeah. Well, listen, there's going to be a team. You know, we're fighting to get in. So you know, it's not going to be easy. We understand it's not going to be easy, but that's what we're pushing for. Obviously, 80 points last year. Can we find 5, 6, 7 more wins? I would think, you know, as I've mentioned before, our power play and our PK, I think, can get us those wins. And I think that our group, you know, maturing and taking another step should help in those areas. So that's why, you know, I think that I played on a team much like the team that in Anaheim when I was with the New Jersey Devils. And so, the first time we ever made the playoffs, we had to go on a 9-0-1 run to get in, and we had to win. We had to beat the Rangers, and we had to beat Pittsburgh, and to get in to make sure that we did get in.
Was that the John McClain deflection in Chicago?
That was the one. Correct. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah, the winning goal on a rebound that Johnny buried it, and that put us in, and then. Getting in, we lost in game 7 to Boston Bruins in the final. Mm-hmm. So it was like, we just took it. So it's like the hardest thing is to get in. And once you're in, you got a chance. That's the scary part.
Was Panger the goalie on that John McClain?
He was. Yeah. Oh. Panger, yeah. Yeah, Panger was the goalie.
Hey, yes, now he's going to be mad at us. And he won't come on with us. Like,
you bring I scored on him that night too, so it doesn't matter. So.
I don't want to throw a curveball at the end, but we mentioned goaltending. John Gibson going to be a Duck?
Well, as of right now, he is. So you know, I certainly we've had discussions about things, but it's certainly. Something that has to make sense for the Ducks to do. John had a great year last year. Doss had a good year. We feel incredibly blessed that we've got two really good goaltenders, and someone has to, you know, would have to really change my mind on that whole scenario.
Yeah, you got a pretty good tandem right now, and it's nice to see Gibson having some fun again.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's, you know, I that's the hardest thing to do when you get when you're in the situation that I think the whole group was in, is trying to find that fun again. And I think last year winning certainly and being more competitive on a night in and night out basis helped to have fun again and to really I think at the end of the day, guys, we're playing a game, and it should be a lot of fun to come to this place every single day and to earn a great living.
I'll throw one in too. With Joel taking over, I look at Pet Project and Trevor Zegras, and I'm excited to see what those two can do together. What do you see that relationship and Trevor's elevation of his game or evolution of his game?
Well, I think the one thing that I think, you know, the whole thing, as I sit there and think about it, I think Joel's just going to kind of be an extension. I think he's going to demand accountability, but I think, you know, Joel's, when you listen, when we talk, he wants the guys, we're going to work hard, we're going to compete, and we're going to have fun. And so, you know, part of that is, you know, there's going to be accountability, and I don't think there's going to be any difference for Zegras. So I think, maybe the fun aspect is probably going to be something that really helps Zegras take it to the next level.
He might be the second happiest guy in the organization that Kreider's showing up. I guess they train in the off season together.
Yeah, they do. Yep. They spend time at the same gym. Yes, I know that. Yeah.
So if you could train anywhere near Kreider, you're doing pretty well.
Well, Jacob Trouba told me that he's going to blow the fitness you know, our fitness scores off the charts. I said, great. I said, Jacob, where are you going to be on in that scenario? Make sure you're close. Make sure you're close. So anyway.
Oh, that's good. Hey,
Pat.
Thank you, Pat. I just want to thank you very much.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Pat.
All right. Take care.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
The Chris Kreider fitness.
Yes.
Tales are well,
the famous video of jumping out of the pool, right?
He's the first person I ever saw do that. Now, football players do it all the time now, but Kreider was the first one.
You haven't been around me in the pool.
If you could jump, could you jump up a step? It's hard, man.
Between what Kreider does and then what Steven Stamkos did jumping on the on that box, I don't think I could climb up with two hands and two legs.
Like the vertical, and then you got the power jumping out of the water. It's amazing. Are you feeling Olympic today?
No, I actually am not. I don't know why they're doing it today. I must admit, I'm a little disappointed. We seem to be
the initial rosters for the nations taking part in the Olympic Games.
Six players for. The teams that are in the Olympic tournament in Italy next year are being released today by time zone around the world. We have seen a lot of the European teams named already. So I just want to focus on the Stanley Cup final. Couldn't we wait like another week? Couldn't we wait till next Monday when there isn't as much news? Or couldn't we wait till the end of after the draft? Why do we have to do this today? Mm-hmm.
Well, no, next week's a good point. Why not during that time?
Yeah, and ahead first of the draft? We all know why they're announcing these players because
That's,
between now and the full rosters being announced, they need to have people to wear the sweaters and to do the commercials and do marketing.
There's no surprises in any of these.
No. There shouldn't be. It's like. We have so many great pieces of news, like the awards last week, that we seem to be just, we don't give them the respect that they are due. I think these are important announcements. This used to be a big event, naming players to Olympic teams. Now it's.
Well, it used to all happen at once, though.
First time we did it was 1998. That's right. Now, or November of 97.
Remember when you trotted out all those kids?
Yeah, you remember
on the ice?
Whose idea
was that? Ottawa?
Ottawa, yeah.
Was that your idea?
Well, it's a long story. I'll tell it on Wednesday when we have more time. It's a really good story because it did change the way how Olympic teams are named. That's a good one. And maybe we can talk more about the Olympic teams.
And we may have a Stanley Cup champion.
We might have a Stanley Cup champion. You think we will?
I think we will.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Boy, that third line of Florida, it's just when they're going. They control the whole game.
Well, and you know, it's the bottom six really, because you know what Greer and Noshik and Gajewicz have done for 10 minutes a game, they change the temperature all the time, and You know, when the series started, I actually thought Edmonton was deeper. I did. I thought Edmonton was deeper, yeah. And they're not deeper. And that doesn't even talk about the six defensemen that that Florida put on the ice. Their six defensemen have been remarkable. Absolutely
remarkable. Edmonton's got to be better. From McDavid to Draisaitl to
we have to see more of what they are doing to McDavid, to Draisaitl, to render them this ineffective.
And the power play for Edmonton has been mitigated.
It has been mitigated. Well, mitigated. It's not near what it was. You're right.
Which is another way to say mitigated.
Well, yeah, but you use the big words. As I've told you many times, do not use words larger than marmalade.
I enjoy the fact when you repeat yourself. Like when you say, like the awards.
That's the way I speak.
Whenever you repeat something, it's just, that's a sure sign that something's under your saddle.
Well, here's the other thing. The All-Star teams used to be important.
I know. They were just announced.
When I was a kid, it was who was on the All-Star team and the debates we used to have of who was on the All-Star team. Now there's just, now people don't understand that they think the All-Star game is as important as the All-Star teams.
He's a six-time All-Star. People don't know whether that's All-Star games or All-Star teams.
And that's just wrong. You've done a bad job informing people.
I know. My whole goal is to muddy the water as much as possible.
Somebody can't say,
I'm wrong.
You're mitigating the situation.
We're going to mitigate this episode right now. Thanks, no, John. I appreciate it.
We're going to end this. We're going to end it.
We're going to slowly mitigate. John, have a great day. All the best on your Monday.
My Monday is going to be finished at the golf course.
Oh, I'm jealous.
For the first time this year. Mm. I've been so busy carrying this podcast.
Yeah, don't hit any houses. And by the way, I wasn't on the golf course on Friday. You accused me of that.
That is bogus. We know you were. I have spies. Billy the Cat told me. Billy the Cat.
No, I was not on the golf course. I wish I was. By the way, play well today, buddy.
Did you see Gary in the back?
I was when Pat was talking, I was watching Gary, and I was curious as whether or not Pat was going to reference it or not. You've got something over your right shoulder, John. It was a Stanley Cup. Gary was through that. We'll talk to you in a couple of days, buddy.
Cheers.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.